You're listening to New Retirement Radio, brought to you by the team at Prout Financial Design.
Hello, I'm your host, Certified Financial Planner Dennis Prout.
I'm Heidi Cartwright, Financial Advisor and RICP.
I'm Deanne Jennings, and I'm here to share data and dive into the world of finance with you.
Investment advisory services offered through Capital Asset Advisory Services, LLC, a registered investment advisor. Securities offered through Genios Wealth Management, Incorporated, member FINRA SIPC. Opinions expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect those of Capital Asset Advisory Services. The topics discussed and the opinions given are for informational purposes only and are not intended as financial, tax, accounting, or legal advice, and are not intended to address the specific needs of any listener. Listeners are encouraged to discuss their individual needs with an appropriate professional.
And welcome aboard to another edition of New Retirement Radio from Prout Financial Design here on WTCM. Joining us today, the gang from Prout Financial Design, led by Mr. Dennis Prout. Good morning, sir.
Well, it is very good to see you. Good morning, Ron. Good morning. And good morning to each of you listening today on April 13th, 2023. It is great to be here. It's great to see you over there, Colleen. Welcome.
Shelley.
Good morning.
Oh, thank you.
Good
I had to go move my car.
Yeah?
That's why I wasn't here when you first walked in the door.
I had to get my car moved here. Boy, the traffic was stopped there on front.
Today?
Anyway, yeah.
Really?
It was I don't know what they're doing, but anyway, they're at it. Whatever it is they're at. They're stopping traffic. And today joining us, too, you may have heard of her briefly, Deanne Jennings. Good morning.
Good morning. This weather is amazing outside.
How about that?
Love
it's
it.
Radical. Like 75, 80, we'll take it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Enough to wear ourselves out outside. To talking to a couple yesterday. Yeah, the weather was great, so great that, we're doing way too much yard work anyway. That's part of the deal, isn't it? And joining us, too, is Heidi Cartwright. Good morning, Heidi.
Good morning. I'm happy to be here this morning.
Great to have you as well. So Heidi, our own RICP and Managing Executive, and Deanne, our Director of Operations, and I have an idea for a future show.
Oh, boy.
I know. Yeah. The anticipation
on air now.
So here it is. I've not cleared this, just so you know, with the management here at WTCM. Sounds scary to me. But if we can get it engineered,
yep,
and if Ron can work it out,
yep,
timing-wise and all the rest, I know there are some ifs there.
Live from Florida? Okay.
On the beach. That's a good idea.
What a great idea.
See,
yeah,
already,
I love it.
He's guessing it already. Actually, it'd be live from our classroom.
Oh.
Sometime this summer. I think we could have a lot of fun with that. Have clients in, questions from the audience.
A live
do
audience.
Do a live audience. Ooh,
like
show.
That.
And obviously have you, Ron. You'd probably have to leave here a bit early. But if we can get it engineered and all the rest, I think that'd be a ton of fun. You know, and we could have questions from the audience, have the audience come in, and we'll do all kinds of things there.
Need
to make
somebody
that
to
work.
Run around like Phil Donahue with the mic.
Exactly.
There you
what
go.
Do you think about that?
I'll do that.
I know.
It
sounds like a Colleen
yes.
job.
Yes.
Yeah.
Colleen rather could join us, too. So
I love your attitude, though, Dennis. That sounds like a ton of fun, he says.
Yes, indeed.
While people are in the car headed to the beach.
Yeah. We're working, slaving away. Well, we'll see if it can make it worth everyone's while. We'll have some great food there, too. We're already thinking about
we're
that.
We're just brainstorming right now.
Yeah. We're just brainstorming. So, good morning. Today we're talking about scams, and unfortunately, it's impacting everyone. And unfortunately, so many are discounting it. So, we want to talk about this and lay off the cover, if you will, that's going on around this. The scams have grown dramatically. Yeah. I believe, Deanne, what was the increase? 30%?
Yes. Well,
what is that first stat or the second stat?
The second stat.
There?
Consumers reported losing more money to investment scams, more than $3.8 billion than any other category in 2022. That amount more than doubles the amount reported lost in 2021. The second highest reported loss amount came from imposter scams with losses of $2.6 billion reported, up from $2.4 billion in 2021, and that's from FTV.gov. Mm.
So what was the, sorry, I'm going to steal this from you. It's doubled? The amount more than doubles the amount reported lost in 21.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So it's a real deal. Now, first, if you will, sorry, I'm on a mission because it's gotten up close and personal. We had a client scammed, and I am so, I want to cuss and swear about it. I'm so mad about it. So that's where I'm coming from. So I need to calm down. But our preconceived notion is that this only happens to older folks. Not the case. All right? So it does, but they also, and I made this note, they also have tremendous responsibility and sometimes significant assets that they have responsibility for. So it may happen to older folks, but it may happen to you because they look that real. It looks that real. It looks perhaps like it's from Microsoft, Netflix, Common, DTE, common companies that you say, oh my gosh, you know, what the heck is that? So it looks real. Secondly, it tends to not be a coffee klatch conversation, if you will. It's not something people will brag about. You know, I bought Google at 45 and it's at 90. You know, you hear those kind of things.
Yeah.
But you won't hear, I just lost $500 to a scam. Can you believe it? You know, they don't tend to talk about that because there's a huge amount of embarrassment. Huge, significant amount of embarrassment that goes along with it. How did I get taken in? You know, we all get that. So it's because it's not part of the relational wisdom, if you will, that we tend to get from others. And because it's been that hidden, in many cases, we believe inaccurately that it can't happen to us. And Heidi, you're continually in training to help you avoid this sort of thing.
That's correct. I have continuing education that all financial advisors have to take continuing education. But we have certain segments that are just dedicated to scams and phishing scams. And these are when, you know, you get sent an email or something and they ask you to click a link or something to get into either your computer or your computer system. And so they go over and over this, and we take these and we take tests. But then what the company will do is they will send me fake emails. If I click on anything, then I have to take additional courses. So I have to be able to, and it just comes in my regular email. So, like,
so they try to catch you.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Talk about good training. Now, what's interesting about this is all of this information winds up being, in many cases, set aside because of that air legitimacy and the fear that they create in you many times.
Emotion.
I missed that bill.
Yeah.
So they approach you from the emotional front, and it looks so legitimate that it upsets people to the extent that they set aside their preconceived or pre-knowledge, if you will, and their logic. And they proceed to go down the path of being taken in. So many times that's the case. So be aware. And unfortunately, as a part of this, there is no level they will not stoop to take people. I just get so frustrated.
I think the best thing is, if you're talking about email, if you get an email and it has the Amazon logo and it says from the Amazon team, it's time to, we're reviewing our records and want to update your latest credit card on file with us.
Right.
All looks legit. Or a bank will do that. Your bank. Or maybe a bank you don't even use.
Right.
Ignore all of them.
Yes.
Ignore all of them. The worst thing that can happen, if it's legitimate, is your bill won't get paid. I mean, on Amazon.
Right.
But
exactly.
Ignore all of it because they're so good at it.
Or they'll say your account's going to be shut down.
Right. Yeah.
See, that goes towards your emotion. Like, well, I need to buy this, so I can't let it be shut down. And
I say assume. Go into it with the assumption it's fake.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah. That's good.
Now, Heidi, how do you know whether or not it's fake? How can you tell?
Well, some of the things that they go over in the course is you want to hover over the link or hover over who sent it to you to see if it's actually from that company. Like, does it have Amazon.com or whatever the company name is, because a lot of times it will be, or it'll have a generic customer service with no company logo or anything associated with it. So you want to look at what that link says.
Okay, hang on a second. Yeah. Now, not everybody knows what hover over means, okay?
So we you have take a the cursor, the little arrow thing, the mouse. And you put
you
it on
You take your
top.
Mouse. Mm-hmm.
The mouse.
Yes, and do what?
You hover or you put that arrow so it's right over either the email sender the link.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And it will pop up on your screen the address.
The full address.
Right. Mm-hmm. The link or the address of that, where that's going. And that's where you're checking to see, does that make sense?
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. So you, many times you'd be able to tell, oh, that address, that looks like it's from India. Well, it may well be.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then you can see that it's fake because it actually has some foreign language possibly in it as well.
Or it has a foreign code in the foreign codes.
Yeah. Yes, indeed.
Doesn't the addresses, they start off with HTTPS. Doesn't that mean it's secure if there's an S on it?
I'm not sure about
okay.
that one.
Yeah. All right. But
usually HTTPS
misspellings. Look for something that's the same name but one letter is wrong.
Okay.
That's another one where mm-hmm. they're trying to mimic what the actual is, and they'll change one letter. So it makes you suspicious, but suspicion can be healthy if it protects you from these kind of things.
So it looks legitimate. Mm-hmm. It looks really like Microsoft. It looks like your bank. You can't believe how realistic these emails that are crap look, okay?
Exactly.
And it appears real.
Yeah, and one of the examples that the article gives us, it's like Netflix. It's an email from Netflix saying, update current billing information is needed. So you put the cursor over that from, like Heidi was talking about, say Netflix. But then in quotes or parentheses, after you put that cursor over it, it will say Rama Calcula at, you know. So you know that is not legitimately from Netflix.
I said never update your... What did you say? What was the language? Update your billing information. Never, ever do that.
Hmm.
Why would you need to update it? Like, what happened?
Yeah.
Well, they don't have it yet, Ron.
They don't have it yet. Now, what happens next is there is a legitimacy over it because there's a problem. Uh-oh. What did I do? We didn't receive payment. DTE. It's not from DTE. Many times it's not from them. We didn't receive payment. They introduce that stress to you. Oh, my gosh, you know, if I don't pay my electrical bill, power's going out next week. Whatever it is, they introduce that stress. And then they'll even say perhaps that the overpayment needs reimbursement.
Mm.
Can you believe it? It's crazy. Or... you're in trouble with the government, or you owe money, or the worst, someone in your own family has an emergency right now. That's why what I meant by they will stoop at nothing, and especially related to family.
Mm.
Heidi was telling about AI.
Yeah, I was listening to a story on the news when I was driving home. And
last night, was it?
You were saying? It was last night or the night before. Yeah. And they were talking about a situation of a lady who received a phone call from somebody who said they had taken her daughter. And then they had the daughter speak. And she's like, oh, yes. Shh. And she's crying and she's all upset. And... she kept them on the phone, and luckily, like, she, like, was texting with people while she was talking, and they're like, yes, I can confirm your daughter's right here. She's fine, you know, and...
So, hang on a second, Heidi. So, the person they were trying to scam was actually wise enough to get in touch with her own family members to find out if her daughter was okay.
No, her daughter really was okay. What the AI was that they mimicked the child's voice.
But what Dennis is saying, the woman who got the call was smart enough to talk to them.
Exactly.
But get on her computer and confirm.
Yep. So she was smart enough to do that. And she was talking to them, and they went down from, they went from 500,000 to like 50,000 during the conversation. But she said if she didn't know her daughter was safe, she would have sworn that it was her daughter's voice. And it was this AI technology that can take somebody's voice and then make it say whatever they want.
Mimic it.
So that really scared me as a mom. I was like, that would, you know, you'd go from 0 to 100 in your emotions.
Oh my gosh.
And you wouldn't be thinking correctly.
So confirm this. The bottom line is you have to reach out to trusted advisors, your financial advisor, us, your banker, your family members. Is this legitimate? You have to talk to these other people. Do not allow them to make you act without consulting your most trusted family and or advisors. Do not allow them to do that. If you do, you will, you almost certainly, I will say, be taken for a significant ride. And it can easily result in tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of dollars they will take you for. I hear stories, because I'm in this industry, of neighbors and all the rest, people close. You can't believe how in-depth they get and how convincing they are to get you to obviously protect your loved ones or get involved with somebody that says they're trying to protect you or, in this case, kidnapping a loved one.
And I keeping it secret. Sorry, Dan.
No, that's okay.
Keeping it secret should be a red flag for people.
Do not accept keeping it secret. Not accept that.
Exactly.
All right?
And I think what we're saying is scams are becoming more and more sophisticated, and so you need help to discern, you know, is this real or not? Like one of the stats, and if you've been taken by a scam, you are not alone. Just to, so you know, one of the stats is newly released Federal Trade Commission's data shows that consumers reported losing nearly $8.8 billion to fraud in 2022, an increase of more than 30% over the previous year, and that's FTC.gov.
And I would guess that that's really conservative.
Exactly. Those number is who's reported it.
Right.
How many people have not reported it because they're so embarrassed.
All and that might be money out of the U.S. going abroad, too.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
You know,
well,
you can't believe the investment that these scams people have made into significant call centers in India. Mm. And they've highlighted those. If you go on YouTube, you can see how deep they are into this, these scammers, and how sophisticated they are to push this kind of thing onto us. All right? Oh, such a happy subject, but we need to talk about it, and we appreciate you listening. We have a phone call here.
We shall go to the telephone to Suttons Bay, Michigan. Fred's on the line. Good morning, Fred.
Hello. I always enjoy the program, always learn something.
Oh, good.
I was wondering about these emails that I received that I've won this or that, and I used to open them and scroll down and unsubscribe. But I've been told that that doesn't work because then they know there's a live person there and you just get more emails. Is that true?
You know, that's a great question, Fred. Thanks for your call. I would say it probably is true. So you might just want to exit out and delete it. Don't even open it. That's the key. Do not open those, okay?
Yeah, and just you can go down the list. If it's not somebody that you're corresponding with or somebody you recognize, you know.
It's like junk email, though. Like if you get this thing as world's greatest power drill marked down 50%, and you go, oh, and you open that, and you go, okay, it's junk. And, like, you could go down to the bottom where it says unsubscribe. Mm-hmm. You click that and unsubscribe, and he's saying that that's a scam where now they know, there's a real human there that didn't just delete this.
We're going to send
even
more.
Even more.
Again, more sophisticated.
Yes.
You're
right, Fred. That's a good policy.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Fred.
Thanks a lot. So how to avoid a scam. Some of this is repetitive, perhaps, and some of it is additional. So number one, don't give your personal financial information in response to a request you did not expect. Honest organizations will not call, email, or text to ask for your personal information, like your Social Security number, bank account, or credit card numbers. They won't do that. They won't do that. So if it's like, man, that's really personal, beware. Yeah. Especially for an organization that you don't know. Like, now, it may appear again real.
It's like somebody calls us, yeah, Heidi, this is Lynn at your bank, and we're just updating our records, and we see we don't have, we can't make out your Social Security number. We're just filling that in. Can you give that to us, please? You've got like a nice warm voice. They know your name, right?
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people, oh, yeah, sure, I'll help you with that.
So see, like, the problem is the phone recognition, they will make their phone appear as though it's from XYZ Bank.
Yeah.
They'll make it look like it's from the bank.
So a good, just a tip is if you're suspicious at all, take the 5 minutes, hang up, call.
Call the bank.
And
the
verify
bank. Yourself.
Right. And say, you know, did somebody from here call me about this? Mm-hmm. And you don't want to use any kind of number that you find within an email that you're suspicious about, or that person leaves you that number, because it may not be the institution. Go to another source, look it up independently to make sure that you're calling who you think you're calling.
I think you have to be suspicious of all now. Mm-hmm. Instead of trusting, you have to be suspicious of every email like that or every phone call.
And I think it's important to highlight the Social Security. Mm. Social Security will not call you.
Right.
Yeah.
If you get an email or text message from a company, this kind of goes right along with what you just said, Heidi, you do business with and you think it's real, it's still best not to click on any links. Instead, contact them using a website you know is trustworthy, whether it's Google or whatever. Or look up their phone number. Don't call a number they give you or the number from your caller ID.
Mm-hmm.
Call up the number that you yourself look up. Mm. Resist the pressure to act immediately. We reference that. Honest businesses will give you time to make a decision and also consult with others. So do not make that decision immediately. If they're saying they need help or there's a problem or whatever, you got to pay this bill right now. A common way for them to take payment is also a danger sign. We'll talk about them. Mm. Know how scammers tell you to pay. They may ask you to pay with a wire transfer like Western Union or MoneyGram or a gift card. Never deposit a check and send money back to someone. So that check that you deposited from them is most likely bogus.
Right.
Not even real. And the bank's going to catch that immediately. So again, consult with your bank. Consult with your loved ones, children. Mm-hmm. Consult with your CPA, your accountant, or your financial advisor. If, again, they're asking you not to tell them, that you know it's bogus. When as soon as they ask you not to tell somebody, you know it's a bogus.
Yeah.
It's a bogus request.
Can I add in there, Dennis, AARP has a fraud hotline. If you're too embarrassed to talk to someone close to you, call this hotline, and it's 1-877-908-3360.
Go ahead and repeat that number if you would.
It's 1-877-908-3360, and it's an AARP fraud hotline, and they'll talk you through it.
Excellent. So you got some other question, first round?
I was going to say, some of the banker employees must be trained now. I saw on the Leland Law Enterprise on the police blotter, and it said, call from the bank. They suspect fraud because somebody came in to make a large withdrawal.
Mm-hmm.
And so the bank called the police, said, you better check this situation out.
Yes. So. We tried to get a bank representative on the radio show here this morning, and they didn't have enough time to do that. But our intent is to do another show with one or two bank representatives so that we can hear from them about this and deepen the knowledge base out there. You know what I'm saying?
Couple of quick texts. I think this goes along with what Heidi said earlier. But scammers also use the idea of a grandchild that's in trouble in order to get the grandparents to send money, so not just parents.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we talked about this before the show, and one of the things that gets people on this is they may have some personal information on the grandchild. If they go out to Facebook,
social media
mm-hmm. sites, they can go, oh, you know, and they're here, or they go to this school, or they'll know some things about them because they go to these sites. So you just you always have to think about these before you move.
You ever see on Facebook or social media, occasionally somebody will say, what was your favorite song growing up? Or what was your favorite car? Well, all of that's collected by scammers and data people. So they can call and say, yeah, we've got your daughter here, and, you know, she's always talked about how much she loves the Beatles or whatever. They'll have personal information from the social media site.
Yes,
they will. Actually, I have a stat with that. Social media had the highest overall reported losses of $1.2 billion lost, and that's FTC.gov.
And one other text says, anybody who's nearing or nearing Medicare age or on Medicare gets hundreds of these misleading messages and emails saying they're losing their coverage. And these are from legitimate health care providers. The whole idea is to scare you into signing up, which will be switching your current coverage. So I guess you need trusted professionals in your circle.
Mm-hmm. Yep, you really do. Deanne, you've got some other stats. Why don't we cover those right now so we can hear more about what's going on with that, too?
The FTC received fraud reports from 2.4 million consumers last year, with the top five most commonly reported being number one, imposter scams, number two, online shopping scams, which we were kind of talking about that earlier before the show. Like, if you're scrolling through Facebook or Instagram, there's tons of health, you know, buy this product, you know, all that kind of stuff. Number three is prizes, sweepstakes, and the lottery scams. Number four is investment-related scams. And number five is business and job opportunity scams. And that's from FTC.gov.
Man, losses to business imposters soared. Mm-hmm. From 2020, it was $196 million, and in 2022, rather, $660 million lost.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow. So three times plus the amount. It's big business. Okay. So, and they are getting more and more sophisticated all the time to look real, to cause you to act out of an emotion rather than logic. Remember, it's always emotion first. They will connect with you, speak like you're similar to a parent or a grandparent. They'll do whatever they can to ingratiate you, if you will, to gain that trust.
Yeah, and I would just encourage people, if you have a financial advisor or a professional, CPA or somebody, like we talked about at the beginning of the show, we do have training in spotting some of these, but just to get somebody's outside perspective. And, you know, that's one of the benefits of building a relationship with a financial professional, is that the trust that you can build and the interaction over the years, you get to know each other. And so listening to them and having an outside party who doesn't have the emotion, the sense of emergency or immediacy that has to be done, can give you perspective on your decision making to make sure it's solid.
Yep. Here's a great scam. A threat's detected. It appears right on someone's screen on their computer. Computer scan alert. Suspicious activity detected on your computer. Contact a live technician now.
Mm.
And this is not, it's bogus. Mm-hmm. It's another fake email. So that goes right along with the part where they're trying to get you to act out of fear or emotion.
In fact, before the show, when we were preparing for it, we actually looked at a video of some of these scam shots. It looked like a regular office. There's people in cubicles, and they have all these callers.
Headsets on.
Yeah, and they're all telling,
people.
And you can hear them say, well, we're going to cut you off. We're going to cut your service. And
if you don't give us this information.
Yeah, and it was shocking to me that it looked like a business environment, and they just had a lot of people in there making these calls, looking for somebody who's susceptible.
Yes.
Here's somebody on the text line. This is a credit card advice. To verify anything, call the number on the back of your credit card or debit card. There's an 800 number there. We were contacted by email when we were on vacation in Europe that our account was locked, even though we had notified the company in advance that we would be traveling. Luckily, we got suspicious and we didn't reply to the scammers, and they just called the company and said, is my account locked? No, it's not locked. Okay.
Good job.
So the scammers somehow actually may have known that they were traveling. Isn't that wild?
Yeah.
They picked up on that. Mm. And so it has an area of legitimacy. You can see that, how that would frighten someone. Oh, my gosh, you know, here we are in wherever.
We don't want to be stranded.
Austria. We don't want to be stranded. Mm. And so we've got to contact them and make certain that our credit card is okay. Well, call the credit card on the number on the back of your credit card, as they just said. Call them directly and find that out. It almost always has an air of legitimacy. Heidi, you talked about how you had mailed something via UPS, and somehow they made it look...
That was one of those tests. Yes. I've only clicked one time wrong on my hidden emails, and one was right around Christmas time, and they sent me one from UPS that looked... It had the label on it and everything, and they're like, there's a problem with your package. And I had just done it an hour before, and I was like, oh, my gosh, you know? And so that was my one failure.
So an hour before, you literally were at the UPS store dropping off packages.
And that's why, to me, it was still in my mind.
Legitimate.
It was very recent, and, you know, I did have specific instructions on that package, and so I felt like...
In that essence, obviously contact the UPS store yourself.
Yes.
To make certain whether or not that's legitimate.
Exactly. Another personal experience, somebody on the text line. My grandmother was contacted by a scammer about 6 years ago, claiming to be a defense attorney, sitting next to me at that moment, saying that I got busted for drunk driving after a bachelor party, and they needed X amount of dollars to bail me out. She didn't believe it, and she hung up on them. 6 months later, I heard on the news those same scammers struck again in Milwaukee, and that time they were successful. So if somebody says, hi, I'm an attorney, I've got your son Pete here, and we're in court, and we want to get him out of jail, send us, you know, $500 or whatever.
Yeah, or $5,000.
$5,000, yeah.
Whatever it is, so because we have to post bail.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, it...
Oh.
it's almost unreal. What's going on, and unfortunately too, this continual preying, if you will, on the most
vulnerable
people in the population happens on a continuing basis. They continue to get hassled by these people, especially as people age too, because they sense that in some cases confusion. Mm-hmm. That may occur, and or a sense of trust, especially from the older generation.
It does break my heart. Like, I go home to see my parents, and they get call after call, their cell phone, their regular, they still have a landline, mm-hmm. and just the frustration of so many calls, and they feel like they're being harassed, and my dad is in his lower 80s, my mom is in her upper 70s, and just, it's sad. It's sick. It's sad.
It really is.
You have a lot of legitimate groups like that, too, nonprofits that will call older folks and harass them, like, very aggressively to give a donation. Mm-hmm. And if they do, they'll call back again and want you to double it. So those aren't scams. Those are legitimate nonprofits, but very aggressive.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, too much so.
And one that really just, I think it's so bad. Are these romance scams? Mm. One of the articles, we have one of the top five financial scams targeting older adults are these romance scams with online dating. They'll put up fake profiles, or they'll establish a relationship with someone and I just need a loan or I have money coming in. Can you spot me? These sort of things. And you just hate to see people who have been so diligent their lives to save up for retirement and to save these portfolios to help them during retirement to be at risk because they're taken in by someone who's not who they are. They're not honest.
Remember, get used to saying no.
Right.
No, no, no. Click, delete, delete, delete.
Oh, my gosh.
Nothing will happen.
it's interesting. We have a good friend, and that's as much as I'll say. His mother got taken for hundreds of thousands of dollars for something like this, a scam that was a romance scam. And she was convinced that this was an actual romance, and he talked her into sending more and more money, gained that trust over time. And it wound up costing hundreds of thousands of dollars.
That's the thing about love. People, they want to think that it's true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So listen to this. I was reading a story the other day, and I was getting so mad. There was a lady who was getting scammed in the romance. Mm-hmm. And it's going on, and they're posting all these phone calls that they had with each other, and she's getting money. On. And then it turns out she was also scamming him, and he didn't know it. So it was this double jeopardy scam of two people that were in the market for that, and it just absolutely blew up, and everybody went to jail.
Spy versus spy.
It's a happy ending.
So the criminal meets you on a dating or social media app, sweeps you off your feet, and tries to get into a relationship with you quickly. They're experts at appearing caring, sincere, and downright perfect. One common sign of a romance scammer is that they'll probably live far away, make plans to meet you in person, underline this, but never will. Mm. So some of these folks, they'll actually travel over to London. This is actually one of the stories we've heard. And, of course, he was never there. He
never showed up.
He never showed up. Instead, they'll ask you for money to pay for unexpected medical bills, as Heidi mentioned. They'll ask you to wire money or put it on a gift card. They might keep asking you for money repeatedly until you stop sending it, at which point the love of your online life will disappear. Disappear. And it obviously
vanish.
Is very sour in those kinds of situations. Yes, Ron?
I have messages from listeners. Two of them are actual questions about gold or something like that.
Oh, sure. Okay.
But one person, how about the home title? Can somebody really take your home from you from the internet? We do run commercials on our, we don't run them, but the national shows.
Sure.
Buy insurance. Mm-hmm. And that way nobody can scam your title. I would call my title company and ask, is it possible for somebody to steal my title? If you're concerned about that, because I wondered. But there,
I did too. And that's a great, that's great advice, Ron. Call your title company and ask them if that's the case. Yes.
Can somebody really steal my home?
Right, exactly.
Somebody said, giving the falling dollar and rising foreign currencies, why would I not convert my dollars to another currency?
Well, it depends on what kind of currency you're talking about. Are you talking about converting it to a real currency like gold and silver or a cryptocurrency? Mm. Cryptocurrency trades on the currency's availability and its usability. It doesn't trade on any backing. So that's where some of the best advisors, if you will, out there hate cryptocurrencies. Warren Buffett, our own economist, those that are tend to be obviously more traditional, who are investment folks, tend to despise cryptocurrencies. Now, there are others who say, you know, I want to bet on that because it's an alternative to using dollars that are depreciated by central banks around the globe, their own currencies, whether it's a U.S. dollar, the Swiss franc, or whatever it is. They have tended to degrade those currencies over time. So that's where these cryptocurrencies come in. Now, hedging your bets. The problem with any of this, these currencies, whether I'll just say whether it's silver or gold, they're also very volatile. They introduce a significant amount of volatility, and guess what? That means the price can go down as well as up. So when they say to keep your money safe, safety is a relative term. And we're not talking about your relatives, if you know what I'm saying. It is a relative term, and it simply means that it's a way to hedge in another way, to protect yourself in another way, but it is not a guarantee against loss of principal.
Hmm. All right, some of this might be similar. Started listening late today. Have a question. Would it be good to move money into gold, into a gold IRA or physical gold during this time of uncertainty in the dollar, or keep the money in and going into my 401k? So gold IRA or physical gold, or just leave it in your 401k?
Well, again, if you're if you need protection and the portfolio has grown to that extent, and you do want some protection, they can be a protection against currency declines. That's specifically what gold and silver does. It tends not to be an inflation hedge. Mm. And for those advertisements that hawk the fact that it's the end of the world as we know it, I tend to discount them significantly. It's like any other asset. It is an asset that can grow and can also decline, but it can be a good insurance policy as well. Now, insurance policies you don't buy to grow into the future as owning companies on the offense would do. So gold and silver are defensive mechanisms. I'll generalize. There tend to not be offensive mechanisms. Obviously, you can make money in them. But what are the offensive mechanisms? Owning or having money in darn good companies, well managed over time, to help you achieve the result and the growth of your portfolio over time.
And it is problematic to have physical gold in your IRA when you come to RMD age, and there's a lot of rules with that physical gold. So you want to be careful in your IRA before you make that decision.
Yeah, there are a lot of scams related to that, because they say you can hold the gold yourself and keep it in your IRA. Wrong. That's misinformation. Okay. We have a call. Ron, question.
We do have a call here for the gang from Prout Financial Design from Frank in Boyne City. Good morning, Frank.
Hey, I have a question as far as investing in other currencies or changing. Why wouldn't we now just start buying Chinese currency or transferring our currency?
Into Chinese currency? You can do that through owning companies over there. Or purchasing the currency directly, I think. That is the yuan, I think it's called. But honestly, that's beyond my level.
It's
possibly another hedge. But as always, be very careful, because the winds of change in the Chinese economy can affect that currency value, and also endanger, of course, then your principal that you might invest over there. So
well,
it can be.
Sure, I understand that, but I look at they're now working with Middle Eastern countries and the highway to the Africa from China.
Mm-hmm. They just bought a big chunk of Michigan. Maybe that's what started.
Yeah, they did. Yep. Again, it could be a diversification tool, but treat it only as that. All right.
If you wanted to do something like that, how would you buy Chinese dollars or yuans?
I have no idea. I'm sure you could do it on a foreign currency market, but we don't get into currency trading here at Prout Financial Design.
All right. So we will wrap up this episode. Lots of scams out there. So scary that you brought all this to our attention. But best thing is delete and say, no, that's me. That's my approach.
If it seems too good to be true, it probably is. That's what my grandma always told me.
Yes.
Verify.
Yes.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Whenever you're asked to do something that's a bit out of the ordinary, even somewhat out of the ordinary, how was I contacted by them? Even though it seems impossible that they would know who you are, they can get to you and get advice from others around you that you know and trust. Okay?
And remember, you're not alone. Get help.
Excellent. All right, ProutFinancialDesign.com for everything you need in Traverse City. Thank you, Heidi, Deanne, and Dennis Prout.
Thanks, Ron.
Pleasure to be here. Thank you, Ron, so much.